Better on Draft podcast is recorded live in Detroit Sound Studios in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, and Matt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 71 of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken. We've got a full table of beer, that's for damn sure, today.
And I think we got more in the front.
So I'm going to start off, you know, I don't normally start off with Dan, but Dan, how you doing?
What happened?
How you doing there? You thought I was going to say that I don't start off with myself, and then you're going to be like,
I was ready to jump. I was going to jump on you.
Right, you know what, Dan?
What?
You just made the list.
Oh, I can't even hear it.
No, it was too low.
I just made the list. I was already on that list, sir. Probably a long time ago.
What are you up to, Dan?
Drinking beer. What do you think?
What
I'm
are you
doing
drinking?
Right now?
It's Friday. What do you expect?
Well, of course, I got a King Cobra. We know.
Yeah.
You can make sure you can hear the paper bag. I got a Liberty Street Red Glare Amber Ale.
Wow. How is it?
It's good.
Yeah. It's probably one of my favorites from them, that's for sure.
Is it? I was going to say, you wouldn't know you're drinking a pumpkin beer.
I am drinking a punkin. Not pumpkin, punkin.
Oh, my bad. I didn't read the label.
Punkin, yeah. Punkin. It's nothing to do with pumpkins. You should
try it. Apparently, according to you guys, I'd be pouring that into the like, not the English Channel, wherever they dump Boston Harbor.
Oh, I heard that.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, and I don't disagree.
Story. Dan's the only one who tweeted me last week.
I did tweet him.
No, none in Ireland is up, you fucking twat. I
believe that isn't what I said. That is not what I said.
I think that's the first time we might have dropped the T word here.
Yeah, I don't remember using that.
Better on draft.
But, oh. I guess it's the first time for everything.
Speaking of first times, Nick, how's it going?
What the hell does that mean?
I have no idea. Take it as you will.
Wow.
I'm doing good. I got 3 beers in front of me right now. In front of me directly.
You know, you yell at me for wearing a North Center shirt every single time I come here.
Yeah.
Nick wears a freaking Bullet Club Kenny Omega shirt.
Kenny Omega,
I've never seen him wear that shirt before.
This is a brand new Bullet Club
shirt every time.
Yeah,
that's no, I don't. It's been a while. Since
it's been 2 weeks.
That's because Kenny Omega's the shit.
I don't know about that. What are you drinking over there, Nicholas?
I cracked open and passed around the Perrin White Noise for everybody. Got that going. And I'm going to start with a Dark Horse Rain in Blood.
All right. What kind of beer is Rain in Blood?
Orange Pale.
Is that a Slayer beer? I mean, is that where we're going?
Yes, it is.
Nice. How come we didn't drink that one before?
Yeah, I don't know.
How come that didn't make our metal beer show?
How come that was
I blame whoever
episode
found
two.
The metal. Yeah. Was that episode two? Was
two
the metal beer list?
Yeah. Episode two or three, yeah.
69 episodes ago. Yeah. I've drank a lot since then. That's for damn sure.
Well, we've definitely drank a lot on this show.
Yes, we have.
And we're only getting started.
So the almost late Matt Bush, how you doing?
Always
right
timely.
On time.
Always timely, very fashionably on time. I'm doing well, Ken. How was your week?
It was pretty good, actually. Not too bad.
What do you got in front of you?
Well, we'll go over that when it's my turn. Okay. What do you got in front of you?
I've got a Twisted Tea to start.
Sorry.
But I also do have a Deschutes Pacific Winterland Lager that's been aging well
in your trunk?
In my front seat, actually.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's pretty much where you keep your beers is in your trunk and your car.
Yeah,
like,
and I also
naturally.
Have a white noise, so I'm like triple fisting-ish. But I'm sipping them slowly, so I'm trying to pace myself.
No, mine are, when I'm keeping, I just don't mean to interrupt, I was just thinking of the car thing. Mine are usually rolling around in the back seat on the floor and like unopened beers. Is that not normal?
I usually
got a beer out there. I remember 2 days later after driving around, usually bring it home. From here, it's like, oh, I got a beer out there I can drink.
It always happens in the winter here in Michigan. Like, I'll leave beer in my car not thinking, twice about it because it's going to stay cold. But, like, in the summer, I always bring my beer in. Like,
well,
I don't
just
think
want to go back to my car when it's cold outside.
You're just lazy.
That is correct.
What's wrong with just like just I believe having the bottle just like kind of cask rolling aged.
What? Rolling aged. This is a rolling aged beer. Yeah. It tumbled in my car for 6 months before I gave it to you.
These Deschutes bottles are like, I think they put some yeast in them to keep them going. So, you know, trying to keep it fresh.
Speaking of keeping on going and keeping it fresh, Rob, what's going on?
Hey, you know, just chilling out, hearing about some of the sad news hitting today.
Yeah, just a little.
Just a little.
Here in Metro Detroit.
So, yeah, we're not necessarily in mourning yet, but obviously with the loss of Mr. Mike Ilitch.
Yeah.
And, well, he doesn't get to see the Red Wings miss the playoffs this year, so you got that going for you.
It might be a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
He's up to the big pizza in the sky.
The big pizza in the sky. I don't know why so many people like make fun of I love Little Caesars. Like, it is the best basic pizza out there.
They're deep dishes.
They're deep dishes. Oh, really good. The consistency that you expect for $5.
Yeah. Yet, the bacon wrapped deep dish.
Have you had the bacon wrapped?
Yeah, a couple years ago when it came out.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
I remember they had the pepperoni pizza.
In the crust?
Yeah, the crust was pepperoni, and then under the cheese was nacho cheese.
Oh, my God.
You're giving me heartburn just listening.
Wait, was that the pretzel pizza?
Yeah, the pretzel pizza.
Where they had the nacho cheese sauce instead of pizza sauce?
Pizza sauce,
with the pretzel crust. Oh,
yes.
Man. That was another good, amazing.
That was delicious. So many times. And they got that pretzel, that crispy pretzel, where it's not like a hard pretzel, but it's not like a soft pretzel. So it's like that crispy, overcooked, soft pretzel. Oh, so good. So what are you drinking, Rob?
Kind of double-fisting right now. I've got the Epic Son of a Baptist, which is basically their Baptist, but just made with local coffee.
It's the underage Baptist.
The underage Baptist, compliments of Great Lakes Roasting Company. I would hope not.
Son of a Baptist, our jailbait beer. You drink it and go to jail.
What the hell?
Also, I have a bottle of Liberty Street Starkweather Stout, which apparently was like just bottled like 4 hours ago.
Is it really bottled 4 hours ago?
And basically,
our guest is nodding his head yes.
And has a label that's looking very much like what Starkweather Street used to look like way back in the day.
It's a label that's you can still see the glue being put on there. Hasn't necessarily dried yet.
Oh, no, that label's on there. It's on there very well, so there's nothing to worry about. But, yeah, it's just looking at the label, just actually seeing some of the
turn it this way.
Buildings that actually look very familiar.
So, for me, I'm drinking Liberty Street's Pumpkin Pie Ale. Not pumpkin, punkin.
Punkin.
Really, really good. I'm also double fisting with the white noise.
Noise.
But yeah, so if you guys haven't figured it out yet and who our guest is for today,
we have a guest.
We do have a guest.
Oh, I can't see him. He's standing behind Nick.
Wait, is it John?
That's a short guest.
Oh, wow.
I'm actually sitting next to Matt this week, so I can just just bam right into his
do it.
Shoulder.
Hold on, make sure you tell me to go Facebook Live first.
No, because he owes me beer from my Super Bowl bet with him.
Yeah,
so.
I just left.
Who won the Super Bowl, Matt? I forget.
The Chokebirds definitely took that one down.
Was it the Patriots or the Falcons? I don't remember.
They will be making a lobster lager now, won't they, Rob?
They will be.
With Sweetwater, isn't it?
No, we talked last.
Last week.
What was the breweries that were in the bet last week, Rob?
Let me see. Oh,
somebody goodness. In Maine. Well, and somebody in
Sam Adams and Sweetwater had a bet too, and it was so funny because Sam Adams made a post on their Twitter, and Sweetwater responds, "New phone, who dis?"
Yes.
I about near died when I read that. I'm like, oh, that is such a perfect response for calling someone up and
was a very
trying to gloat.
Esque loss for sure. If the Lions ever go to a Super Bowl, it's exactly what's going to
happen. Or maybe it was a Lions esque win.
No,
you know this is the second time
I would
in
call
a row
that a Matt Stafford comeback for sure.
Yeah. But this is the second time in a row where we've had a Super Bowl involving the Patriots, where you're just thinking to yourself, run the ball.
Yeah.
Run the damn ball.
Two out of three.
So as we go back, we do have a guest, Joe from Liberty Street. How you doing?
Pretty good. Thank you for having me, guys.
No problem. What are you drinking?
I've got a sample of the white noise as well, but then I'm finishing up a poo beer. That's our honey porter. It's a 10%er.
Oh, damn.
Well, yeah, I want to get a little Kickstarter there going first.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's a jump start for sure.
I'm on that next.
Then I've got the American IPA to back it up.
Nice.
Well, that's all you. You know, I love IPAs, but you know what? I want you guys to enjoy all the IPAs.
Oh, that's nice. I appreciate that.
So, Joe, what do you do at Liberty Street?
I am one of the founding partners. I am the brewmaster general manager. The brewmaster title is kind of slipping from me a little bit. I've got a new brewer, a new head brewer now, and he's so good that I'm giving him more and more of my responsibility. So I think I'm going to have to figure out a different title for myself because I've got somebody else kind of running it. But I'm the one that's there every day, all 7 days a week. I'm, you know, at both locations, our brew pub and tasting room and our manufacturing plant.
So you do all of your distro through the manufacturing plant then?
Yeah, we do have some specialty beers that we produce. Our original pub is a six-barrel brew house and very limited capacity for, you know, 400 barrels maximum for the year, so it's not much to do. The brew pub itself consumes more than that amount, so we have to have that production outside. The production plant is a 15-barrel brew house with 30-barrel tanks. So that's a considerably larger, you know, we're able to actually distribute and package with the larger space there. And we've had statewide distribution now for, I'd say, 5 years, I think it was,
nice.
5 years
nice.
With Imperial Beverage.
So you guys aren't outside of the state of Michigan, correct?
No, we're not outside of the state of Michigan. We were considering it recently, but we'd rather not. The current production plant that we've got is 5,000 square feet. So assuming a 5,000 square foot or 5,000 barrel capacity for the year, I think if we get there, it's going to take a lot of persuasion to get us to expand more than that. And 5,000 is not a lot of beer, really, when it comes down to it.
So how long has Liberty Street been open for?
The brewery, the original brewery and pub, we just celebrated our 8th anniversary in December. So it's been around what I would think is not very long, but, you know, I go to the Brewers Conference and some of the, you know, the senior players, you know, the gray beards, I'd call them, you know, the Larry Bells, Tim Surprise, you know, these guys are stopping and talking to me at the conference and as if I'm one of them, one of the old guys, you know. I mean, we were number 82 in the state when we opened, and now there's 300 or, I don't know, there's a lot of breweries.
Yeah,
now,
well over 300 right now and yeah. Over 5,000 in the country.
Yeah, you really can't go every other weekend without seeing a brand new brewery open up within the state itself.
True. Right.
Now, why'd you guys pick Plymouth? Are you guys local to Plymouth or...
Well, no, actually, one of our partners is right outside of Plymouth Township, but and enjoys going to Plymouth quite a bit. The original group of investors, when I got involved, we were looking at a property in Chelsea at the Clock Tower Commons. Oh. That fell through, and then we went to downtown Plymouth. We had two locations down there. We went to Brighton. There were two locations in Brighton that we looked at. Then back to Chelsea, there was an old UAW hall. That fell through. Another one in West Bloomfield. And a lot of these buildings were ready to sign a lease, and somebody else jumped on it before us, and we lose it that way. Or we research and come to a realization that, you know,
it's just not big enough or anything like that.
Well, or... we can't afford the $300,000 build-out kind of thing.
Okay.
So we ultimately ended in Plymouth. It's in the old village. So when people think of Plymouth, they always think of the square downtown, you know, where the fountain is at the park, all the events, these ice sculptures. You know, I love that people can think of that when they think of us in Plymouth, but we're actually in the old area of it. Yeah, the old village. And it's, you know, it's not much for parking. It's a lot of people walking, riding bikes. We're right off of Hines Park, so we get a lot of cyclists, people walking their dogs, like I said. So it's not like up front in everybody's face in the downtown area. So the people that are coming to us are really seeking us out.
So what took you guys from actually like homebrewing to brick and mortar? What, did you just have an aha moment? Did someone approach you? Was someone just demanding more liquid from you guys? You know, what was your start there?
Well, the original back in, you know, back in 06 when I first got involved with the investors, I was homebrewing for many, many years at this point. At that point, I was making an excessive amount of homebrewed beer and dumping a lot of beer. I was doing a lot of experimentation. I was spending money on ingredients and just making the beer and dumping it just so I could learn, you know, the way different characteristics from different grain hops.
Mm-hmm. Good beer, bad beer? Some good, some bad, some terrible?
Almost all of it good. Almost all of it really good. Some of it great. The occasional bad batch, yeah, but that was, you know what, you learn stuff, right? So, but the beer I was dumping, oh, that was good beer. Mm-hmm. It was just, I would make 10 gallons, I had 25 corny kegs, and I would make two cornies of every batch, and one of them I'd never touch. I would just dump it because I need it eventually. Mm-hmm. Yes, everybody who tried my beer would tell me, oh, you ought to do this for a living. You ought to go pro. That's what everybody says, right, about the free beer and everything.
Free beer will do that.
Yeah, everybody says, I'm not going to tell you it sucks. It's, you know, it's free beer, right? Well, I had already been 10 years in the beverage industry. I was 5 years with Pepsi and then 5 years with Coca-Cola. So I had been doing beverage manufacturing, packaging, The step up to the bigger equipment and going professional, it did not scare me at all. I wasn't intimidated at all by the bigger equipment. It was, I mean, the equipment, even the bigger equipment I have now is dwarfed by what I was working on. So going pro at the time, when we went into Plymouth, there was probably 20 minutes, in fact, not probably, definitely 20 minutes in two directions, in opposite directions to the next brewery when we opened. Hmm. So we stayed away from the brew pub license and food and stayed with the microbrewery no food idea. And 8 years later, you know, we're still doing very well there. And we still have plenty of room for growth as well.
Now, when it comes to your mainstays, what's your flagship? Has it always been that? Is that what you initially led with, or is that something the market has
kind of taken over
and dictated that, you know, this is the beer that we need to produce the most of?
The Red Glare Amber Ale that you guys mentioned, that was the first batch I brewed under license. I kind of expected it to be the beer that's going to take off the most with the most amount of people. The reason being it's caramel flavored. It's almost no hot bitterness whatsoever. So it's a very, very mellow beer, great to pair with food. And people who are new to craft beer, it's not offensive at all. So
is that kind of one that you kind of recommend to like new people that might come in and they don't know anything about craft beer? Do you kind of gravitate them towards that? Or are you trying to get them towards maybe something like the yellow beer or the flavored one, if they're into that? Or is that something you try to?
Well, yeah. If I feel like they won't be intimidated by color, mm-hmm. the red color of the beer,
sure.
then that's the way to go. Otherwise, our Liberty Bell Blonde Lager, that's easy. It's yellow. And I mean, that's an easy one for them to drink.
Sure.
But there is some bitterness to it. So.
All right.
But I wasn't really pushing for that to be the flagship beer, but as it turns out, in distribution, that is our biggest seller. The American IPA in the house is by far always the best seller, but out in the real world with the rest of the IPAs, it's kind of tough to, you know.
Yeah, well, when you have some breweries that have multiple IPAs, and unfortunately, we've talked about it on the show, there are those people out there that'll judge a brewery solely on their IPA, which is... We've said it before. That's just dumb. Very, very dumb. But unfortunately, you have to have at least one in your lineup, you know, to at least get people, some of those people into the door and then they'll just open up to all the.
If the hophead dream would die, I would be so happy.
The hophead dream, is that an actual thing?
That's
did you just make that up?
I just made that up.
He created it just now for this show.
Nice. The hophead dream of walking into a brewery with eight IPAs, yeah. six doubles, three triples. And then
87 variants as I'm holding the Dark Horse.
The Dark Horse beer.
Well, I'm going to name a beer Hophead Dream now.
The Hophead Dream.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, he stole your thunder. He's naming beers. You're not naming beers on the show.
You know what?
Now.
I think I'm just a muse. So I just I rub off on people. Like, I inspire others.
Jeez.
You did mention the multiple IPAs, though. We are releasing April 1st is our... It's basically a session IPA, but we're calling it Eagle IPA. We're calling it a pale ale, which is basically what a session IPA is.
Mm. You should put some cherry in that.
Or some
Eagle Eye cherry, Dan.
I don't even know what that is.
Joe's like, yeah,
well, safe tonight.
Well, that will happen.
It's a band with maybe two hits from the 90s.
We should play that during the break to remind Dan.
Put a maraschino at the bottom of it.
Here,
and then hit the handle.
Save tonight and fight the breakup.
Oh, I don't want to listen to that. No, don't play that. No, don't play that song.
His only hit.
No, it's one guy. That's his name?
Yeah.
He had another one, too.
Yeah. Brother of Nina Cherry, who also had a hit.
Son of Don.
How do you know that much? Is what I want to know.
Son of Don Cherry.
Do you know how old I am?
Yeah, Don Cherry. I've been to Don Cherry's when it was in Windsor. Does that count?
Okay, touche. Well,
it is the son of Don Cherry. Like, he wasn't messing around.
Oh, it is?
I don't think it is.
Yes, it is.
He can't. How is he the...
The son of jazz artist Don Cherry.
Oh, okay. I meant, yeah.
You're thinking the Canadian.
That's what I was talking
Don
about.
Cherry.
Holy shit, that is his name. That's nuts.
His real name is Eagle Eye Lanu Cherry.
He's from Sweden.
He's Swedish.
Swedish.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. It's extremely weird. Not
oh, my God.
No hate, not hating on any of the
Sweden,
Swedish.
Right.
People.
Oh, it's funny because they really do. All the Scandinavians talk like that. That's why it's funny.
His follow up to Save Tonight was When Mermaids Cry.
No, there was another one in there too.
Oh, there are more, but that was his follow up.
No, let's get off of this.
Let's
But hey, we named another beer.
We named another beer.
Let's
Eagle Eye PA Cherry.
Can we get off the Eagle Eye Cherry please now?
So, are you guys going to be at the Winter Beer Fest upcoming? This year?
Yeah, we are. We've not missed it yet since 2009. That was our first Michigan Brewers Guild Festival, and it's one of our favorites, even when it's really, 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 really cold. that year, I happened to miss it personally.
Was that 2015?
I think, that was it.
Yeah, 15 was the only one I've been to, and I remember...
California.
I remember walking by brewers who were pouring each of their taps just to make sure the lines wouldn't freeze, like, every 5 minutes, no matter what. Like, they had to do it. I know – I'm pretty sure – I think, like, a dozen breweries had to close early at the beer fest just because their lines froze and there was nothing they could do about it. That sucks. Like, just imagine spending all this money getting into the beer festival and then your lines just freeze over because there's nothing you can do.
You could have the fucking thing indoors.
Dan, but where's the heart of an indoor beer fest?
Hey, if you want to go get frostbite, have fun. We were at an indoor one, a month ago?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
It was a really good.
Until someone stole my phone.
Yeah.
Thanks, Obama. No, just kidding. That's what you get. No,
you didn't leave it at the fireworks this time?
I did not. No, that was a key.
I know, but it's
key.
Still
different
property.
My OPP. Oh, no, that's your OPP, other people's property.
Other people's phones.
Other people's phones. There you go.
How can I explain it?
So what do you guys have anything big coming up for the this year for Liberty Street? Any new beers, any new events, anything like that that you haven't done within the last 8 years?
We do have the new beers coming out this year for distribution. Like I mentioned, the Eagle IPA, that's coming out April 1st. Probably May or June, we'll have Liberty Bell Blonde Lager. And then in the fall, we'll actually have the official release of the Pooh Beer, Honey Porter. The bottles I brought were just Kind of just proof of concept, I guess.
No, they're not gone. I hope
they're all out there.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say.
Yeah, we drank them all. All the 10% beers have already been drank at 7:15.
I wouldn't threaten you with
that. I mean, no, 7:24. Oh, you're right.
7:25. Yeah. If you want to go out and grab a bottle for us, I'd appreciate it. Oh, yeah. So as we continue, what kind of got you into being like, hey, I want to brew a beer, or I want, you know, you mentioned being a home brewer, but what made you, get that first step?
Get into the beverage industry before that, too, the Pepsi and Coke. How did that happen?
You needed a job and they were hiring?
Yeah, that's the quick. Well, I needed a job that was going to be good insurance, good career type move. I was in a steel plant and I left that to go into at Pepsi. And that's how I got into the beverage industry. I think the brewing story is a little more interesting. It was like when I was a little kid, 7 or 8 years old, it was Three's Company and Mr. Roper made beer on a stove in a saucepan. Well, I remember when it was happening and I'm thinking, can you really do that? You can make beer at home. And it always kind of was in the back of my head about making beer at home. I had a brother, older brother, who had done it once, not very well. Sorry, Paul, if you listen to this.
But, we'll tag him on Facebook just to make sure he does.
Right. But he had tried, and then I had worked with a guy at Pepsi that was a brewer, and then he kind of pushed me to it. So that's what got me personally started brewing.
Sorry, we're busy pouring the Pooh Bear. Here.
So yeah. I just poured the Pooh Bear. Does anybody else have this that doesn't want it or doesn't have
so
it?
So let's go back to Three's Company real quick. Mr. Roper was making beer. He didn't seem like the kind of guy you would see trying to make beer. He's usually yelling at people.
Yeah, in fact, one of the parts of the scene that I loved the most was, and it was weird because he was pouring it from a saucepan into a glass, and he hands it to Helen, and she says, "What are these things in it?" And he said, "Those are the hops." And she says, "Well, I didn't ask what they were doing, Stanley."
That sounds like a great name of a beer, too. I didn't ask what they were doing,
so
Stanley.
So you cooked it on the stove and poured it into a glass? Like, here you go.
I mean, looking back on it now, it doesn't make sense, but it got me interested.
It got the message across enough to...
Yeah, well, you can do that.
Hey, Dan, how old were you when that episode came out?
I don't know. I don't remember that episode. The episode always sticks out is where you could see John Ritter's ball sack when he's laying on the bed. This is a true story.
No.
This actually happened
in that episode. Yeah.
No, that's quite all right. I don't need to look
at
it.
That was a great show. What was Don Knotts' character on that? I can't think.
Mr. Furley.
Mr. Furley. He made that show after Roper left.
Hell yeah.
Or died. Did. I can't remember if he died or just left the show.
They moved.
I don't think I've seen a single episode of Three's Company.
Oh, it was a great show.
Yeah.
This was the 70s, right?
No, early 80s. Yeah, maybe late 70s.
Yeah, Dan was in his 30s when it came out, right?
I think he was just still chasing Van Helsing.
Still chasing.
Yeah, I might have been. Yeah.
So we got a couple bottles of the Pooh Bear going around.
What do you guys think of the Pooh Bear?
For the guy, those that you have.
This is actually a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Not that, well, it's typically I don't like these darker beers, but
yeah,
this is something I could actually drink. It doesn't have the viscosity of a porter.
Mm.
You usually get more of, you know, stout kind of characteristics because it's closer to that part of the portfolio. But this drink's just like almost like an amber, but it's sweet and it's got a little bit of caramel to it.
Nice.
Yeah, I could drink a few of these.
Okay. All right.
Don't threaten me.
It's made with there's a lot of honey in there, and you know that dries out, that ferments out completely. But there is honey malt also, which was what gives it the honey aroma and flavor, the sweeter kick taste.
And the honey is the only thing that really hits your palate.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, and I think maybe
can't
that's
taste what, the alcohol, can you?
No, and I think that's maybe what makes it more palatable is mm-hmm. instead of having that viscous milk like character you might get with some porters,
yeah,
you kind of the honey like guards your palate against getting those flavors.
So you think it's pretty surprising that it checks in at 10%. basically.
If this checks into 10%, I just apologize to anybody I would interact with after I've had two of these.
Exactly.
Yeah. Two of them is the what does it? Yeah.
I would call this beer like the assassin because it's going to sneak up and just kill you.
Oh yeah. So is it kind of like when we had the that salted caramel brownie thing from? Is that because that was dangerous too? Even though it was like 4 or 5.
Anderson.
No, it was the
New Belgium.
That was New Belgium.
Or the New Belgium.
It was the Ben and Jerry's
beer.
Oh, I mean,
that's
it was,
the one from like last like, year.
Yeah, yeah.
That not was, the one that just came up with the blonde or whatever. One. No, that was terrible. But
did
so
here's a question for those who were at the Roke interview. Did those beers sneak up on us or did we just get tanked?
No, we just got tanked. No,
we
whatever happened at the right time, we're like, oh, let's just drink all of this and then go to the bar.
Fucked.
We got
that night.
I don't even know what we were doing.
We got a little screwed up and it was just, you know, not knowing exactly what
damn it,
Black
John.
Tuesday was.
Well, you, they were
already in the bag at that point. I don't blame Black Tuesday for us going over.
Well, between that and the, I think it was Matt Bush's first show, which was the Hop Slam show.
Yes, that was.
Oh, that was when you first came.
The
mini
keg of Hop Slam.
I actually felt bad on the inside that I thought that, wow, I'm drinking all these guys' beer. I hope they don't mind that I'm drink. I just keep asking for more of the stuff. Come to find out you were functioning alcoholics like me.
I skipped a concert because of that episode. I wasn't going to come to that mini keg of Hop Slam and everything involved. I'm like, nope, I'm going to that.
Never mind.
I might go
to the concert later. Nope, not going to the concert later. You know.
So on top of the Pooh Bear, we also have the red. Matt brought in some bottles of the Red Glare, which I started with that.
Anybody need
and
one? Oh, I'm on number two.
Dan's on number two. This is my first crack at, and this is a really good one. This is really good. Really, you said mellow. This is definitely very mellow, and I can understand where you're going with and bring that beginner craft beer drinker into something like this. This is a good drink here.
Well, and that's the thing that I always, especially when I had posted earlier today in regards to the fact that we were going to have you on our show, and I made a mention that Liberty Street isn't known for their kick you in the face, huge ass, you know, releases, beers, etc.
Right.
Like,
okay.
They're there, they're consistent, and that's probably the biggest thing about Liberty Street is that whenever I've gone out and I don't know what I want or anything like that, and if I see Liberty Street, I'm always drawn to it because I knew what I'm going to get. I know I'm going to like it, and I think that speaks wonders in regards to your consistency and how much you've done over the past 8 years for your brewery. You're not here to bring, you know, oh, a 22% double barrel-aged session IPA, whatever the hell. You know, but
it sounds like a session beer.
So yeah, every beer is a session
every
beer, Dan.
To me, especially.
If you name it that.
Yeah. It'll say that, even though it's like 30%, it'll say that, and someone will drink like 5 of them.
There you go.
Oh, that's a bad time.
No, you know what'll happen.
You're going to have a bad time.
There should be a beer that's so high in ABV, it's just called Call a Taxi.
Uber me.
Yeah.
Uber me. It has a QR code for Uber.
Right. That's a discount code.
I had a buddy. He went to school at Dayton, and he was fascinated by this bar called Timothy's right outside of Dayton because they would give anybody a tab, even if you were undergrad, because some schools they want you to pay or at least do whatever. And his thought was, so wait, you're saying as long as I can write my name on this line at the end of the night, I can drink as much beer as you want to give me. And that was probably the best thought I've ever had to a beer. I think I got lost halfway through that story. I was trying to read the room.
That's okay.
So anyway, you said you've been, you know, you guys have been in business for about 8 years. And when was it the point that you really felt that, yeah, I've kind of made it. This is going to be, you know.
I see that
kinda
shit-eating grin on his face right now.
I'll tell you when I get there.
Or you have not got there yet.
Well, we thought.
The high point.
We thought we were there, and then we jumped backwards, and, you know, we. So we opened a brewery, the original brewery in the tasting room there, and, you know, everybody says after 2 years, if you stay open after 2 years, you're going to make it, blah, blah, blah. So after that 2 years, I thought, yeah, you know what? I feel like we're going to make it. We're good. And then we opened a production plant. Now we're like back in way in debt. And, you know, so now it's kind of back into the I won't feel like we're there until we're at half capacity there. So I won't feel real comfortable. And that – I actually projected for like right now to be at that point. We're at about 2/3 that point. So I'm not quite as comfortable, you know, right now. So hopefully by the end of the year or this time next year, I could say, like, right now, I feel like it.
So you said you're at a third capacity. I kind of did the quick math in my head. And we talked earlier about expanding. If you have the room, have you considered maybe, I guess, if the goal is to get to half capacity, and wouldn't another state or another market be exactly what would get you to that goal?
It could, and we were, like I had mentioned earlier, we were considering that. We were looking into it last several months because we were, for the exact same reason that Shorts went out of state last year as well. They were running into a situation where there's so many brands out there that they're not being able to sell as much as they were making, so going out of state with the extra capacity is the way to go. We were looking into that because we were having issues with distributing as well. But we're only capable of 5,000 barrels anyways, once we get to full capacity with more equipment. That's not enough to go out of state. That doesn't really make sense. So going out of state at this point right now would be kind of a desperation move. And that was something we were looking at, not out of desperation, but out of we need to make more beer.
What about dipping your toes, though, into Ohio? I mean, you've got more bigger cities in the state of Ohio than you do closer to Michigan, because once you reach, you know, Lansing, Jackson, that whole area, Toledo's closer, Dayton, you know, Dayton's almost as close as Grand Rapids, Big Rapids, Kalamazoo. You know, wouldn't you think going down into Ohio would branch out more people to come up to see you?
Sure, it would. That would make a lot of sense.
I don't know the laws, so you might have to, in regards to the regulations and how extensive it might be.
It's about us being licensed for commerce in the state that is going to be distributed, getting a distributor who actually handles our product. My ideal location for distribution out of state, if I were to do it, is we are red, white, and blue. Liberty hit the New England states, Washington, D.C. specifically.
Philadelphia?
Philadelphia, yeah. Boston. There's
so in regards to that, do you fear running into some type of other breweries that might have the word Liberty in it to where they're like, hey, you're encroaching on our turf? Because I mean, we had Boffin here who got a cease and desist because their name was Short Tail. You know, do you see that potentially happening going into – oh, I still agree that it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But going into the New
That's
England –
That's business, so everyone
– No, I understand. That's why I'm asking a business question. We're a business-first podcast, Dan. We're not the CBYs.
No, I wasn't saying – no, I'm saying that's a shitty business. CBYs. We're like, oh, this guy's got this name.
I'm not
across the country or whatever.
I'm not concerned with anybody coming after my business name. Mm-hmm. There's nobody out there. And, you know, when we opened – there was a Liberty Street brewery years ago that had closed in Ohio. So I'm not worried about anybody coming after my brand name. My beer names, on the other hand, I mean, you guys kept calling that Honey Porter Pooh Bear. Pooh Bear. It's Pooh Beer.
Pooh Beer. Oops.
You guys are going to get me a letter from Walt Disney if you keep calling right. Pooh Bear.
Pooh Beer.
And, I mean, for God's sakes,
he's dead. He's not going to send you a letter.
He's cryogenically frozen. He's still alive.
Wait, is he?
Estate. Is he?
Yeah, really?
No, I didn't know that.
Pooh Bear.
And, I mean,
that's my fault.
They're actually on Liberty Street. I don't see any reason why anybody need. If anybody goes after him, like,
we're on the street.
You know why? It's because if I were to name my brewery after me, I would get a letter from a big guy saying,
yeah.
Sorry, you can't use Bush.
I was going to say
Matt
that.
Bush Brewery. Yeah. Yeah. Bush. Can't use that. It's my name. Well, it's our name first.
Yes. And even I don't have a C in it, but they'll still say.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's too close.
They'll cause confusion in the market. Matt Bush Beer and Bush Light.
Matt Bush Draft.
Matt Bush Light. Go. Yeah, you should just name your beer Matt Bush Light. Matt Bush. Just like any other Bush beer, Matt Bush blank.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Dry.
Matt Bush dry.
Dry.
I don't know about that one.
Make a nice beer. Bush
Speaking
ice.
Of poo beer. Oh, crap. So many puns that are going through just on and on.
Just a few.
All right. Well, you know what? We got about 40 seconds before we take a break, so I'm just going to take the quick break real quick, and we'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And we are back, episode 71 of the Better on Draft podcast. We have, I would say refilled, but this is becoming a giant beer graveyard right in front of us.
This is becoming a number two episode. That was the one with Bob.
That was
from,
Bob in North Center.
From North Center.
Was that the day that he brought us the Nitro IPA that was so
bad?
No,
that was the second time. This is when he brought the honey, not the honey brown, the whatever brown.
You're my boy Blue.
You're my, well no, that too, he brought his brown.
I forget what kind of brown. Maple brown.
The maple brown.
Maple brown.
Yeah.
No, the second episode, he brought that, six pack of Guinness Nitro?
The second time he came.
Yeah, the second time.
That was like, this tastes like nothing. Yeah. It was like the worst.
Speaking of which, what brewery does he work for?
North Center.
North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan. Check him out on North Center Road.
What road?
North Center Road, just south of baseline.
Is that where they're at?
Yeah, in Northville.
Does Bob still work there?
Technically. Technically. His sister, I think, works there more than he does.
Nice.
So,
I know Rob hangs out.
One of the bartenders.
Matt's spilling things over here.
I occasionally hang out there sometimes on Wednesdays.
Sometimes on Wednesdays.
What time on Wednesdays?
So
7:30.
7:30. You yell at us for shilling out trivia.
I'm not shilling. No, you just brought up trivia. I was just asking what time he hangs out there.
You know damn well what you were saying.
No, I wasn't going to bring up the trivia thing at all because I was just trying to figure
out.
Maybe I'll roll out there.
I would say that's the thing because, I mean, normally I would rather just bring it up as I'm hanging out, you know, Mondays near Joe at Herman's.
Ah.
So there you go.
Look at that.
Oh, you're doing trivia at Herman's. I get you.
No. Come
over to Liberty Street. I'll ask you some questions. Come on, man. You guys do trivia up there.
That sounds like a threat.
And I was so mad because I left the house. I still have my Liberty Street pint glass that I won when you guys used to have trivia there.
Oh, a long time ago.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Yeah, we used to lose money with live entertainment on weekends too. So
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, live entertainment, like that kind of stuff is always hit or miss. Like,
I guess.
When I did it and they had not an open mic night, but they had like a band come in after me on Thursdays at Muldoon's.
I was going to say, were you getting up there and doing open?
No,
that's where I thought you were going.
No, I'll tell you a quick story.
Were you doing your rendition of Bare Naked Ladies 1 week?
So hold on. We'll get to that in a
it's
second.
It's been
1 week since you looked
at it. Hold on. Let me continue.
You can go to a stop spot and see this if you want to. For free. You got a captive audience. They think I'm the bouncer. Last time we were there, they like thought I was the bouncer at the door. I was like, oh.
Are you sure he wasn't doing his Chris Farley Chippendales impersonation?
Oh
no, I can't dance that well. That's for damn sure.
Damn.
I have no idea where I was going with my conversation.
Something about Muldoon's and after you.
Oh, so I would have like 150 people playing trivia, and then the entire bar would leave.
They're not there
for the
band.
And the person playing music's like, okay, well, I'm going to play a song because they paid me to.
So here's Freebird.
Oh,
no.
Hey, you guys hear this song? This is Freebird.
Dude, trivia people aren't there to see someone play Southern rock.
So we went to some bar in Boston last week when I was in Boston, and they had live band karaoke.
Ooh. Oh, that's fun. Oh, that is fun.
And the people there would not let me sing 1 week because they did not believe I knew the words.
Nice.
I'm like, I can sing you the songs right now. They're obviously busy playing music. And I'm like, I can sing you this goddamn song, and it's on your list. I want to sing it. And they're like, no, you can't do it. And then I left because, well, I
well, number I'd leave too because it's fucking Boston.
Were they part of the Prestige Worldwide crew? Because you know they don't let anybody up there. You have to be able
fun
to
fact,
sing.
Ken.
Fun fact: leave Boston.
You don't hang out in Boston for fun. You go to Providence.
Oh, the issue was, and I think everyone it's hysterical because I'm pretty sure everyone at my work now knows that I'm the double fister. In regards to beer, because
I was going to say, yeah, in what regard is that?
Let me finish my damn sentence. So we had a party at Fenway, and there was free Guinness. Well, free for me. Somebody paid for it, not me. And anyways, so the line was so long that I ordered two at a time. And I would finish one and
rightfully
then go in line to finish the other and then drink two more. And just throughout the night, that was a great night. But I wanted to bring something up because it's kind of like a huge beer story, and if we get too off topic, I'm obviously gonna ring it back. But one of the big beer news that happened was obviously Super Bowl Sunday with the Budweiser commercial.
Yes.
So the Budweiser commercial basically was about the story of Adolphus Busch, who came into the United States to brew beer. Simple as that. And a lot of people started like boycotting it. And we've obviously seen it on the other side because remember a promotion, the owner of Yingling promoted Donald Trump.
Yep.
And you saw a boycott of that. So in regards to the industry and how we are standing right now with these big dogs, Yingling's a big dog. Yep. Budweiser is a big dog.
Huge.
Do you see anyone like any type of boycott that will destroy their market share?
Absolutely not.
No.
And
people turn 21 every day.
Wait, no, that's the wrong state because our legal drinking age is 19.
And a lot of stupid people drink. So
people turn 14 every day.
There you go. That's better.
Because people are not, when they're young, unfortunately, and we do not advocate young underage drinking on this show.
When you're 19 in Detroit,
if you're 19 and you live in Detroit, then you can go into Canada.
Just make sure you made it yourself.
If you have a passport.
Yeah.
Or enhanced license.
Enhanced driver's license. People are not going to go across and go to Windsor and drink craft beer. They're going to drink Molson Ice.
Bradours, the 7-point-something Molson.
Oh,
Molson Triple X.
They're gonna drink all of those.
They don't make it anymore.
Bud Light, Triple X, Miller,
Corona.
They're gonna drink all of those because A, it's cheap. B, they don't give a shit.
No, they just want to get hammered.
Exactly. They want to get blitzed because it's their 19th birthday.
Blitzed on a budget.
Is that when you go over there and the Canadian's like, our beer is better than yours?
No, your beer is not better. It's higher in alcohol.
So for anyone, if the CBYs out there are thinking that this boycott, quote unquote, is going to impact Budweiser, and let me finish. It's going to impact them. They're out of their fucking mind because it's not. Okay, go ahead.
So I don't think it's necessarily the CBYs not drinking the Budweiser. They're not the ones drinking the Budweiser in the first place.
It's just funny.
I think this is what's going to happen. Jethro, who got upset about the commercial, he's going to be like, I'm not going to buy Budweiser this week. I'm going to get Busch Light instead. Not realizing it's going to go right into the same pocket. And that'll be that.
And then next week he's getting Bud Light again anyways.
Right.
There you go.
I mean, what does it even matter? I mean, they're going to sit there and boycott a beer that is owned by a company that is in Belgium.
Yeah.
I mean.
So hold on. So because that's where I was trying to avoid. How do you feel about a company in Belgium telling America how to handle immigration? Because I can tell you right now, if you go over there illegally, you're in some deep shit. Stay for 91 days and see what happens.
Is that what the – I don't know the rules.
Yeah, 90 – you can be there 90 – with
explain a little more.
To put it in simple terms.
You're pretty much – I mean, you're the Carmen Sandiego of the group. I mean, I just
– put it in simple terms.
This goes
for all the EU. Not London. You can stay there for 180 days or in England. Without a visa, without applying to be an immigrant there, you can be there 90 days and every 180 days.
Okay.
Stay there 91 days, your passport, once they catch you, even if you're trying to leave, your passport is getting branded, you'll never be allowed back in the EU for life.
Damn.
So you got a Great Britain?
Holy shit.
They're going to build a wall outside of Russia.
Belgian company telling us how to handle immigration when if you try this, you are fucked when you
now,
go over there.
Now, did you watch the commercial? Have you seen the commercial?
Yeah, I saw the commercial on YouTube after you were talking about this. But it's pointing to being able to come to America immigration-wise. It's not the 18. When was he come over here? The 1800s?
Early
1800s. Gosh, yeah. It's been a while since I read the book.
Different fucking world.
Exactly. It is a completely different world.
I'm not going to take sides on this again, apologies, but
well, no. I'm trying to keep it on the business level as opposed to the political level because that's
unfortunately
people are piling on Under Armour right now too for even stupider things.
Yes, that is true.
People that don't live in the real world.
We'll have to talk about that because I have no idea what the hell happened on Under Armour.
Better on underwear.
Better
on sportswear.
Ken, unfortunately, you're not going to be able to talk a whole lot about this. Without really getting too political, because I mean, we could sit here and argue. Well, was it their American offices that came up with the commercial? Is that where all the marketing
well, of
done?
Course it did.
Was it – but were they under the guidance of the people over in Belgium? I don't know. There's things that we don't know.
And you know the underlying meaning of
I know how to
commercial.
Shut this –
correct.
I know how to do this in one simple sentence.
Go for it.
Bring back the Budweiser puppies. They retired the Clydesdales. They brought in Golden Retrievers. Let's just do Budweiser and puppies.
Or just
I like the Clydesdales, man. Those were better times.
I mean, they already brought Spuds back, you know, as a ghost. So, I mean.
So they
wasn't that for
dog?
Bud Light?
Oh, wait, it was for Bud Light, but I was going to say,
yeah. They killed a dog and, like, what?
I mean, they tried to do it harkening to the Scrooge.
Oh yeah,
like Scrooge,
like a
the Bill Murray movie,
like a Christmas Carol,
a Christmas Carol.
Basically, this guy didn't want to go hang out with his friends, so Spuds McKenzie shows up as a ghost and takes him and shows him what kind of a good time he could have had with his friends.
Is it like Spud Webb?
Yeah, Spud Webb showed up. Wait,
as far as I know, Spud Webb is still
or
alive.
Something? Jeez. Which team is Spud Webb play for?
Right
Hawks.
Now? This year?
No, Atlanta Hawks.
What team does Spud play for this year?
Probably the Pistons.
Spud was all of
him
what?
And Muggsy Bogues are
he
on
was
the
like,
same team.
Earl Boykin, too.
Spud was like all of 4'10" and won a slam dunk competition.
I was playing NBA Jam, the tournament edition, a couple days ago, and then Muggsy Bogues popped up.
Him and Dikembe are like the best in that game.
Oh, man.
Is that the best
wait
team?
A minute.
And
hold
Big
on.
Country Brian Reeves.
Shut
big,
the fuck up.
Big
Muggsy
Country.
Bogues?
Big Country Brian Reeves.
Is that where you could play as Bill Clinton? Is that the game?
No, that's where you got to choose the different color hair on Dennis Rodman.
Oh, my God.
I remember Grant Hill in that game being on the rookie team.
Grant Hill.
With the teal-colored jersey.
No. They had a team in NBA Jam Tournament Edition where it was just a team of rookies. It was like Jason Kidd, Grant Hill.
Jesus, Jason Kidd.
I know, right?
He's still playing, I'm sure.
No, he's the coach of the Bucks.
Yeah. He's the coach of the owner.
He's not
he's a coach of the Bucks.
He's
okay.
A coach of the Bucks.
Okay, now we're talking about video games.
Yeah.
All right, we're buzzing the tower here.
We got out of politics. So
yeah, there we go. Yeah, you're right.
Hold on.
Joe is right.
Wait for it.
That's still too low.
I made the list for like the eighth time.
So, Rob, news.
Hey, the
where's
news?
The hard copy music? you just made the list, but you don't have
Dude, that beer that you poured, the survival stout, was really good.
Yeah. That was not bad. I like that.
Somebody should open up more beer and pour me some.
That was the current affair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I'm out of beer.
Speaking of coffee beers, there was some info coming out from Founders today about release
here
of
we
Hey, we only talk craft beer here. Too soon?
It was nice to see Founders in Arizona.
Joe knows about that.
That is not just Savage. That is Macho Man Randy Savage. Moving on.
That's all right. We got Kevin coming back on the show with
Sam Adams?
Perrin.
Oh.
Founders and Perrin will be on the same show upcoming.
Oh, damn.
Hey, can I come back and watch that one? I just want to be here.
That'll be on Facebook Live.
Oh, man. I'll make sure nothing's going on.
I think we could squeeze Joe.
Did you not tell them?
I'll bring a bunch of beer, man.
There we go.
See, we should set up shows where the guests
don't know each other.
Oh, no.
That was.
They don't like each other.
We were hanging out with Kevin at the Polar Beers Festival, and he was just like, you're coming on the show with me to Michael Lally of Perrin.
That would be a great episode to bring Nick the Brewer. Back in and just have him stir the crock of shit.
just invite Nick randomly. Hey, come on.
A couple weeks
ago. Who else is going to be there? We won't tell you.
Right.
Get Pipe and Brock out here.
Shout out to John Pipe and Brock.
His wall is being flooded with our in memoriams right now.
Really quickly, you know John?
I know John Muff on Pipe
and
Brock.
Everyone knows John Pipe and Brock.
Hyperlocal celebrity.
So coffee beer.
All right.
So KBS, or rather Founders, they put out their KBS info today. It was actually out yesterday for these particular members of Cadre, whatever the hell that
is. So if you pay them money to get news, you knew yesterday.
No. It was a free membership to basically get the memo the day before so that you can get a head start on getting hotel accommodations. So basically, yeah.
It's give you one day to save up.
One day.
Let's think about this for a second.
Right.
One day head start to get hotel accommodations for beer.
It actually kind of said that in the message too. I don't know.
Am I staying at the Spring Hill Suites?
Maybe. I'm thinking more of a Doubletree.
Oh, God. Gotta stay at
Red
the
Roof.
Okay.
Red Roof.
Embassy dogs, Suites, guys.
Embassy Suites.
Embassy Suites. Two-hour happy hour, and happy means free.
Yes.
So you drink for 2 hours for free.
That is the shit, man. That is the shit.
All right, so we're going to go back.
I didn't know that.
Hold on. So, yes, so Embassy Suites has the business 2 hours, and it's usually like 5 to 7 or 5:30 to 7:30, and you can drink for free. We had a bachelor party that involved 2 hours. We chose the Embassy Suite specifically so that we had 2 hours of free drinking before we took their free shuttle to dinner somewhere else.
Okay, where is this again?
Oh, man.
Embassy Suites.
Wow. I'm going to have to upgrade my hotels, man.
Yeah, I've chosen Embassy Suites on purpose when I've stayed places just because I know I can drink for free.
And that's worth the price of admission by itself.
And they have not only draft beer, but they have well liquor for... So you're
I love well liquor.
Oh. Yeah, so all the Heaven Hill vodka.
Matt just figured out where he's staying for the honeymoon.
When we did
there may or may not be a problem with my denims fitting too loosely right now.
We did the bachelor party, and I gave the guy $50.
It went from 6 to midnight, Ken.
The guy who was the bartender, I gave him $50, and I said, "You see this group of people? You serve us first." And he's like, "Sure, no problem." And like everyone was tipping him on top of that $50 too.
Damn!
But I'm just like, excellent just maneuver. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go.
Oh, forget yeah, it.
I don't remember that night. I remember somebody left to get White Castle, and then I remember somebody did zombie or vampire Abraham Lincoln versus vampires.
Oh,
or?
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln vampire hunter.
That's what he used to do before he was president.
Yeah. We watched that.
I wonder why they elected him.
Yeah. I'm going to go see a play.
So in regards to KBS, and I know Dan's ever the skeptic in regards to waiting in line for beer, but for KBS, this is hold on. This is you basically figure out the day you're buying the beer. Like you buy a $5 ticket to get the day that you're buying the beer, and you just show up anytime during the day to buy the beer.
Well, that was
so you're
last
not waiting
year.
There. Oh,
that was last year. As we remember, last year you would pay for a $5 ticket, which that
it went to charity.
Went to charity. You pick the day, you basically try to get the ticket for the day you were going to go, and then obviously you'd buy the beer. You'd have the ability to buy up to 3-4 packs at a cost of $20 per 4-pack. The game has changed. So this year, it is going to be completely different, and you will be paying...
Why? It was so good.
I know, but you will be paying for everything up front. So they have two options. There is the junior option, which is... Two 4-packs... And two 750-milliliter bottles of, obviously, 2017 KBS. Not including ticket fees.
750s?
That will run you the cost of $84. You then also have the regular option, which is four 4-packs and two 750-milliliter bottles. And not including the ticket fees, that's going to be $132. Now, obviously, whatever day you get, that's the day that you need to be there to pick up your beer.
Well, you think you kidnap Chelsea Clinton?
So I could buy like 70 40s at King Cobra.
Whatever day you get. So you don't even get to choose the day.
No. You still get to choose the day. So basically, there's the link. Basically, tickets go on sale next Saturday on February 18th. You try and get your tickets for whatever day. And then if you get the ticket, then that is the day that you go. You have your choices between Tuesday, March 7th through Sunday, March 12th. And, of course, they're having their KBS release party, which is going to happen on Saturday, the 11th, where, of course, they say they're going to have KBS just pouring all day. Obviously, just pretty much, I would assume, like they did last year, there would be CBS, which will go on tap at some point through each day.
Got to wait for the anthem.
You got to basically, wait there until they start playing O Canada, and the dude comes out with the Canada flag and sticks the magnet up on the board saying, "Now tap CBS." And then you better get a glass within the first 20 minutes. And if you don't, then it's gone for the day.
Better be really nice to your waitress that day.
Yeah.
I need to hire an event coordinator for my brewery.
I'm available.
That sounds like they're going to make a lot of money.
They're
going
to make a lot because, this is a pretty huge increase from last year. I mean, from the pricing, if you look at last year, it was... 3 4-packs, you're talking a total of 144 ounces of KBS. That was $60. If you go with
keep lining up for beer, guys,
the
and they're going to keep doing this.
The junior option, is really only – it's just under 3 ounces more, and you're paying $84. And that's a 40% increase.
Keep lining up for your beer. I'm not joking. This is what's going to keep happening.
Now,
this can run about $3-4.
I would love to.
I know, but same thing. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not barrel aged.
I'd love to get a bottle. I'd love to get maybe two bottles. But I mean, I had originally thought about going, and now with a jump like that, it really makes it seem like, what the hell am I driving 2.5 hours for if I'm paying that much more for, you know, basically the same amount of what I was getting last year.
Rob, what you need to do is crack open the homebrewer kit you have and learn how to make that yourself. It's going to run you about $40 to make the same thing.
RBS, for Rob's RBS breakfast.
And we're talking 5 gallons of that.
Right.
We just need to find a barrel.
I mean, for the people.
No, you're right. You can get a barrel. If you really want to do it in an actual barrel, you can get oat cubes and do the same thing.
Yeah,
instead of a barrel.
I'm not going to shit on the people who are going to go. I have no. If
I
y'all want to go,
I'm going to shit on those people.
Y'all can have fun. It's just
they're the reason
I'm
it's running $80 for some beer.
My whole reason of wanting to go is to pick up some for out of town relatives who've wanted to try this stuff, and for me to be able to pick it up and ship it out to them.
I'm an out of town relative. Yeah. You want to give me some beer?
I mean, I would love to, but it's just the idea of paying that much for something.
I have a proposal.
Just jumped so much more than I was expecting.
I have a proposal.
Go for it.
And I think this is something that Dan and I can get on board for. Dan and I are going to put in for a bottle, and as soon as we get it, we're going to film ourselves pouring it down the drain.
Oh, I'm in for that. I'm totally in. A 750. I want to do it in front of a live audience.
Do we need to get into drain pours that have been showing up on the boards lately?
I want
to
do that just because of all the idiots that are doing it. I want to be part of that fad. So, it's like the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge.
Kevin has a bottle of CBS from when they bottled it. We got to find out how much he'll give that to us. Or I want to drain pour that shit in front of a bunch of people.
So here, let me ask a question. So Joe, you've been in the industry for going pretty close to it. Pretty close to it.
I think he's calling you old.
Shut up.
I'm old.
So what do you think about events like Founders is having here, having this and having these rare releases? What are your thoughts behind events like this and rare releases? What do you think about those?
On the business end of it, I think it's brilliant. I mean, you know, it's definitely smart for, you know, we just had our 8th anniversary. Did we have a party? No. You know what? Everybody has parties for anniversaries. Party, yeah. Everybody does parties. And
for their half birthday.
You know, part of the reason, like I say, we're in that the old village area of Plymouth. We're not the shout out, hey, look at me people. And those kind of things. I mean, you know what? You've got to do what the consumer wants first and foremost, because they'll just drop your brewery like a bad habit.
Unfortunately,
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So it is smart of them. Business wise, it's obvious. Just go get that money, man. It's just sitting there waiting for you. And big and small breweries, they all do it. I don't blame them at all. It's just I don't want to do it. It sounds like too much damn work. And
you'll have people criticizing you while they're in line.
I mean,
a question I wanted to ask, and something that we actually didn't ask: do you guys serve food there at Liberty Street?
Not much. I call it a beer factory with a snack bar. We have a popcorn machine going on,
like
the time.
Bowling alley snack bar.
So they're in the same league with Danny's popcorn machine.
Popcorn Danny's. Oh my god!
If it was up to me, that would be all we had is a popcorn machine.
Nothing wrong with that.
We got soft pretzels, cheese filled breadsticks, hummus and pita.
Nice. That sounds
pita
good.
Pita and spinach dip, and that's about it. Other than,
do you guys allow customers to bring in their own food?
Absolutely. We want you to bring in your own food. Have food delivered. We have binders full of menus, local
binders full of.
Let's not go mid round.
Well, you got how far are you guys away from the burger spot? Because that's downtown.
Yeah, it's about a mile.
Okay,
yeah, but I'm not sure if they deliver. Like
they don't deliver.
Yeah, like they're not on the list.
That's a good
you
gut buster.
Walk.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's a good gut buster.
Oddly enough, Herman's door.
Herman's is right next door.
They do not deliver.
They do not
to us.
They do not.
Is that by design?
But, Maybe
they probably deliver everywhere else.
Maybe no, they don't. They just don't deliver. They don't. But they honestly, they could just give it to a dishwasher. You could run it down the alley to us. But
yeah,
let's say I'd spend $5.
We do. Yeah, right. I mean, hey, just call them and go run. You know, we'll watch your beer.
Yeah,
go get your food and come back. Or better yet, there's two great pizza joints, man. Two amazing pizzas that'll deliver right to your table. And Jimmy John's is freaky fast. They literally, I've seen them like 3 minutes from the phone hanging up to they showed up at the brewery.
No shit.
And the point is, like 8 years ago when we were doing our business plan, we're looking at all the breweries in Michigan.
Right.
And the microbreweries with no food attached, they had 100% success rate. Mm-hmm. All the breweries that were closing were restaurants.
Because they're losing money on that end.
Okay.
Losing money they can't pay attention to both things.
You need to have, if you're going to have food, your competition is ridiculous in comparison to a lot of these breweries.
That's why I always thought there should be a small business that works with the brew pubs that rents space from them, like a 12 by 12 small area. They do the build-out.
Pop-up dining kind
of. Yeah, and then they rent space from you so you don't have that burden. And then they serve it. And then the thought is you have the same little pop. Like every time you go to a mall, I go to Sparrow's because I know I'm going to get that huge slice of pizza.
Sparrow's still in business?
Hell yeah, they are.
Every mall in America.
And the thought is if you get...
Oakland Mall doesn't have Sparrow's anymore. It's something else.
Well, it's Sparrow's to me. It's still real to me, damn it. Okay? But if you have a little... deli kind of restaurant in every brew cup becomes it's a little thing like, hey, you guys just started a brewery. Do you have a John and Jimmy's in the corner? Or, you know, whatever, you know, you end up naming that thing. And
that's why food trucks do.
Sparrow filed for bankruptcy in 2014.
It's still around.
It's still around, but they filed for bankruptcy.
Kmart filed for bankruptcy in 1998.
They sell beer in New York at Sparrow's, so, yeah.
Oh, that's not surprising. Right.
That's sweet.
Stuff like that, you'd see that at, you know, of all places, of course, North Center Brewing. Because, you know, they'd have the food truck.
We already talked about them.
I'm just saying.
Is there one at Zatuna Liquor?
There's not one at Zatuna Liquor.
There's no food truck there.
Right, sitting there right next to M59.
They sell a lot of party food. Chips, dips,
you know,
snacks, jerky.
Kind of like what you get at
cigars,
a lot of breweries,
yes. Yeah. But a lot cheaper because, obviously, it's a liquor store.
Right. But
go say hi to Jack, go say hi to Gus. They also sell liquor. And cigars.
It's a good idea.
Actually, sounds really good right now. It's a nice little cigar.
Did you?
I love my It's a Boys.
It's a Boys. Nice Mitch Hedberg reference.
You'll
That's not the first
it.
One.
You'll always get it.
There was we were at a Target in downtown Boston. It's a 3-story Target, and the escalator downstairs was broken. So we're walking down the broken escalator, and I literally go, the escalator is not broken. The escalator has become stairs.
It's temporarily stairs.
And the guy behind me goes, sorry for the convenience. I look behind him. I'm like, who are you? It was a wound up being a coworker of mine. And I'm like, wow, nice reference catch.
Nice.
Yeah.
So let's get one more news out of the way before we take a quick break.
All right, some fun stuff in apparently the world of science, as chemists in Spain have did a little experimentation with some brandy. I know, obviously, being a beer show, but I kind of think it's a little related. They were trying to figure out, you know, how those distinct flavors are based on how long it's aged. So they apparently, you know, didn't have any time for that aging shit. So they just kind of found a way to kind of speed up the process. They basically put brandy through a bed of American oak chips and blasted the mix with ultrasound for 3 days. Changed a couple variables like temp and alcoholic strength, and then basically put it to a panel of experts. And the experts came back and basically said that this brandy tasted like it had been aged for 2 years.
Bullshit.
But it only been aged for 3 days.
It was under an ultrasound for 3 days, and they're saying that this brandy tasted like it had aged for 2 years.
All right, so can I stop you for 1 second?
Yeah.
Because, Joe, you said the whole age. There's a big trend in aging beer. What are your thoughts on aging beer? I don't think you're a fan of it by the sounds of it.
Now, aging beer isn't my problem. There's a lot of local distilleries who are coming out with 10-year-old bourbons, and okay. they've only been a licensed distillery for like 2 or 3 years. And they're claiming these accelerated aging techniques. Nothing ages.
Are these like alternative facts?
Like time. They're right. an alt.
No, they're getting
their alternative brandies.
No, they're getting the bourbon and such from other companies. It's three or
right,
three
like
Nicks,
two James
or two
like
James,
two James,
three Nicks, two James,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
There we go. Whatever.
Two James. They're getting it from other places. But I mean that's kind of where it kind of goes in terms of the beer is that if this actually is a legitimate process could breweries start kind of cheating and by saying that they age his beer for a year?
So,
well, there's no such thing as consistency in barrel age unless you're Dragon's Milk.
Yeah.
And there are no lies in marketing either. So when a brewery says they aged it for a year, they did. Trust me. Just trust me.
I mean, so it's interesting with ultrasound. Isn't that kind of like hazardous?
It's scary science stuff.
That is. When I hear ultrasound, I hear...
This is how Kelly Brock got invented.
My God.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with the Better on Draft podcast.
What?
And we are back with the Better on Draft podcast, episode 71.
Shout out to my alma mater right there.
Oh, my
Fire
God.
Chips.
Matt right Bush talking...
But I wrote about
things, for sure.
Seasonal items.
So... Did you take an Uber out to Brown Iron Brew House? Or
I was actually
going to
say
that
we were sponsored by Brown Iron Brew House. No, I was in Romeo visiting some clients, and just to prove that Uber does go that far, I figured I would stop there in the parking lot and see what it would cost.
Call an Uber.
$30. Oh, did you take an Uber from where? From there to here?
No, from St. Clair Shores, from Washington Township.
Right.
To St. Clair Shores was only $30.
That's not bad. That's a pretty long drive, actually. Yeah.
It's like 300 times less than a DUI. So,
sure. Well, yeah. So next time I find myself without a car in Washington Township, I'll know what it'll
you can
like.
Easily give it. I mean, if it's $30 to, I mean, but that was also midday pricing, so it wasn't bar pricing. So, but I mean, at the same
they
rate,
probably don't
nobody's in Washington Township.
Yeah.
But there's always a surge if you're in Romeo or Washington Township because it's so far out there.
Oh, yeah. There's probably no drivers.
Yeah, it's not like somebody, like.
No, there is a driver. His name's Bob. And that's all he does is I'm just making that
oh,
up.
Oh, I was like, wait, you know a driver? I'm like, hey.
Yeah, it's your dog.
Oh, yeah, my dog Bobby. Drives the car. You didn't know
but
that?
Yeah, about Brown Iron, they're doing a Valentine's Day pairing with chocolate. They also have a Roke Tap Showcase coming up this Wednesday, and they'll be tapping Oddside Ales Dr. Dank Juice in the next couple days.
Wait, what? What's
Dr. Dank Juice.
That's their
New
Northeastern
England.
IPA.
Yeah, actually had
New
it.
New England, whatever.
Last week, actually, not that bad.
Are those beers still a thing? I thought that was done already.
Dr.
Dank. The New England IPA
Dr.
thing. I thought
Dank
it was done.
Juice.
No, it's going to be here for another year or two.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, with the
time
resurgence,
for Liberty Street to make their New England IPA
because with Old Nation coming out with M43 and Boxer. I think it's really going to start to really get pushed that others are going to want to duplicate the success. And it seems like every time they do a release, you've got hundreds of people that are going out there to Old Nation to pick up a case or a six pack. So it seems like it is just really picking up now.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I would say work on that New England.
Can I get some music?
Absolutely not. Why would you want music?
Because it's time for episode 71.
The Alex Karras episode of Five Questions.
The who?
The Alex
Karras. Don't give me a who.
Alex Mack?
You could tell me you never watched Webster.
No. I didn't. Is that something from the 60s when you were alive?
He was alive
in the 60s.
So it's getting more and more
Mr.
difficult.
Papadopoulos?
Papa Doc, Papa like Eminem?
Yeah.
George Papadopoulos.
George Papadopoulos.
Didn't you have a door? Didn't you go through the clock to get up? Am I thinking of the right show? Or you go through the clock to get up to his
Isn't
room?
Isn't that Harry Potter?
No.
Am I thinking
no,
of a different
No, that's under
show?
The stairs.
Different show.
But these questions are getting harder because there's nothing to talk about anymore. Because now the NFL's over.
You talk about baseball.
We still have 18 more days, or actually 4 more days till pitchers and catchers.
Yeah,
report.
But the same. There's a report.
You know what? I didn't send you the photo, but I took a photo when we were at Fenway with me and a guy from Chicago, and I said hanging out where the Boston minor league team plays, and it upset everyone, and it was amazing.
I was gonna say they're already showing up in Phoenix for the Cactus
League. Phoenix.
Yeah, for the Cactus Phoenix. League, they're already Phoenix. Going.
Well, I mean, the Coyotes are moving to Seattle soon, so it's
I'm talking about baseball. Yeah, there's only 15 teams at.
Wait, is that a real thing? The Coyotes are moving to Seattle?
Somewhere in the Northwest, either Portland or Seattle.
Oh, my gosh.
As they're about to build a new stadium.
You change that name, then.
Anyway.
The Seattle Coyotes?
The Seattle Supersonics.
I'd be down for the Supersonics hockey team.
Too. All right, so question number one. We always start with geography.
Seattle.
maybe close, but maybe no cigar. What state produces the majority of American roses?
Phoenix.
Phoenix is not a state.
I know, I'm just going to roll with what you're saying.
Maryland?
Pasadena.
I have no fun.
California.
Pasadena.
Maryland. Yeah, it's.
Okay. I was thinking Maryland.
Pasadena is not a state. I need a state.
California.
All right.
So I think we got to figure out between California or Maryland.
Nobody guessed Maryland. Except you.
Him and I were talking.
If you want Maryland, I'll take Massachusetts. I think it's a new.
No, it's a collective. It's a single. First time here, sorry guys.
That's okay.
Hoping for an invite back.
Well, yeah. Without a doubt.
Trying hard.
Yep.
Ooh, I don't know that.
All right. What state produces the most?
I'm gonna go with California because of the Rose Bowl. It's the only.
I mean, I've got nothing, so I'm just going to stick with
pretty big fucking state. Yeah.
California.
The answer is California.
Hey. Way to go, Nick.
Hey, I got one right for a change.
So, I Googled, I did Valentine's Day plus beer, and the first thing came up was this.
Oh, shit.
Actually, not this, because it was written differently, but this I'm going to read it to you.
Samoas.
This European brewery.
Samosas.
This European brewery.
Carlsberg.
Hey, I like Carlsberg.
That's actually not a bad beer.
This European brewery has brewed an aphrodisiac beer just in time for the 50 Shades of Grey movie release on Valentine's Day. The beer, 50 Shades of Green, uses 50 different types of hops and is infused with ginseng, ginkgo biloba, and damania, all reported to have positive effects on the libido.
And apparently, like increased memory.
Well, you're 100.
And so
you
it's a cleanse.
Well, you got to remember where to put it.
Is that the Brew Dogs?
I'm going to say
is that what we're supposed to?
No, out of Europe. Right?
What is the question?
Isn't it true or false question?
European? What is the brewery that is making this 50 Shades of
Grey?
That's such a rant.
I'm going to go with Brew Dogs for the fact that it's brew. Like,
okay,
the only.
How about
said European, right?
This major Scottish brewery.
Oh.
Scottish.
Let's say, well, is there, Scottish. All right, I don't know.
Scottish. We don't even have like a contingency in Scotland. We have a contingency. Did you see that we have a contingency in Hungary?
Do we?
Yeah, we have listeners
in Hungary that listen to our show.
Does Peter Bessonnier listen to our show?
What's that?
Peter Bessonnier.
I don't even know what that is.
Is that where George Soros is from?
Peter Bessonnier is one of the guys who does the Red Bull air races, and he's from Hungary.
It's either going to be Brewdog's
out of Scotland as well as Innocent Gun.
I don't know any breweries.
Shout out to Gerald Farrell for actually giving me some ideas in Ireland. So thanks, guy. But that's a distillery.
I know.
Distillery. Yeah, we had one of our Ireland guests message our Facebook group to help map out while he goes.
Oh, yeah.
Irish listeners?
Irish listeners, yes.
We've had them for a while.
If you come out here in the States,
if you're a foreigner,
I don't know why you'd be in Michigan.
Shoot us a message if you're ever in Detroit. And
come to Detroit.
I
don't know
go
why
to
I
see
stay
Joe
because
Louis Arena before they close.
Yeah.
Come for the fist, stay because you got killed.
Bring beer.
Be realistic because you're not coming overseas to visit Michigan. Think about that for a second.
So we need a Scottish brewery, please.
I'm going to say Innocent Gun. Just because he tried to take us out of Brewdog, I got nothing.
It is correct. It is Innocent.
Wow.
Right.
Two for two.
Yeah, he tried to call. He called us off of Brewdog, even though Brewdog's Scottish.
He totally steered us away.
Well, the thing is, like, I didn't think you're. I figured if I just said Scottish from the jump, you guys would have gone right to Innocent Gun. So I tried to just say European, and then I realized
Europe's pretty big.
So you guys have a beer in front of you.
Yep.
Oh God.
Yep. It is Rogue Hazelnut Brown Nectar. Am I winning? I won. That's right in my hand.
Rob's about to lose it, though, because this is one of the beers I've tried, and I just can't.
Wow, it does smell very Four Loko-esque. I'm already having.
I thought it was hard cider. I thought it was apple cider.
All right,
it's so very apple-y.
Wow, what the mother?
So that's, no, hold on, because so we were talking about this too. That's a good question, Ken. You're going to agree with me on this. Should we ask? Is it a cider?
That's a good question.
This is a beer that will be in the single section of your local party store.
Well, they do make...
That's the rule. So it's not going to be like Dogfish Head...
120.
120, yeah. It won't be something like that. It'll be like Bush.
Yeah.
Well, so I know. This what that red stuff tastes like that?
No. No, this doesn't look red.
I've never tried that. Just so.
Here we go. Hold on.
Good thing.
And this could be like Labatt Triple X Apple Jolly Rancher.
Oh, Jesus.
Does the name... or style have the word apple or cider?
Apple or cider?
Apple or cider, name or style.
Hold on. That
I'm pulling one non-cider.
Is that Angry Orchard?
Angry Orchard's the style of cider.
But I think they do sell it in single, though. It's
hold
possible.
On, because if you
they
get,
do sell it in 16s.
Hold on, because if you get yeah, the yes, it could be the Steel Reserve apple. So now you're going to have cider and that still on the board. This might not eliminate it.
I'm proud to say I've never had anything.
We need to know if it's a cider.
Is it a cider? That is the question. Is it a cider?
It is not a cider.
All right, okay. Is it so considered we're looking at a like... sizer?
Hold on, so we have two questions.
We got two questions.
Because the questions only come from over here. The official questions only come from here.
So you guys can talk about what the
question is. So it's not a cider. So it's going to be, it could be Red's Apple Ale, because that's not a cider.
It's not Red's.
That's a sizer, you could have asked.
It's not.
I don't know if it'll be something.
No,
like
it won't
that,
be a sizer. I can't think of a single that would be a sizer.
Yeah.
I'm thinking this.
What the hell is a sizer?
I'm thinking this is one of the Steel
it's a
Reserve.
Beer and apple.
You got to come so a little closer to the mic.
Oh, okay.
It's a beer apple.
Thank you.
Sizer. Beer apple. Oh,
sorry. It's like a Black and Tan or a half and half.
No. I mean, a sizer is an actual style. It's not a mixture of beers.
No, it's
like you can make a sizer.
It's a
beer with some juice.
Yes, and then ferment. Yeah. Well, no, not cut the beer. You're going to ferment the wort with apple juice to create the sizer.
What does it taste like? Can you give some tasting notes? Rob, like what does apple. It taste like to you?
Rob, are you struggling with this? Because this isn't bad. It doesn't taste like diabetes or woodchuck.
I don't see anything.
My nose isn't bleeding, but
have
I
you
mean,
put it in your mouth yet?
Yeah.
Wow.
Thoughts? Dan, you're usually
oh, this is good.
I mean,
no, I'm...
It tastes like, you know, a Jolly Rancher that's been in the ground and accidentally got stuck under an elephant's armpit. I mean, no.
What the fuck?
Nick, what about you? Can I get some tasting notes?
Hold on. Time out. How do you know what an elephant's armpit tastes like?
and where would an elephant's armpit be?
Explain.
1984, Detroit Zoo. I won't go any further than that.
I don't want to know. I don't need to know.
This wasn't a Ringling Brothers incident, was it?
I had a bad experience.
On an elephant?
Yeah.
They say the armpit of the elephant is the thinnest skin.
Oh, my
just,
God.
I'm just saying, I picked it up in a veterinarian show once. So.
You can't be on the internet checking this out. I know.
Well, no.
Wait, yes, we can be looking up things.
We're looking up names of things so we know what the hell we're talking about.
Us Googling doesn't.
It doesn't help us with the answer.
Yeah, you can't, like, take a picture
with
Google goggles and just, hey.
What does this taste like to you? Nick, what does this taste like to you guys?
Start with Joe.
To me, it's...
Is this something you could make in your brew house?
Is this something you want
to
make?
Yeah, it tastes to me like apple cider from the orchard mixed with a beer, with like a regular ale. So it's like a sweeter.
Have you at Liberty Street thought about making a cider or trying to think? I mean, a lot of orchards around Plymouth.
We you guys are familiar with Northville. Do you know there's another brewery around the corner from there?
Northville Winery and Brewery.
Yeah, Northville Winery and Brewery. And they make, I think, the best hard cider I've ever had. I don't want to make cider because I can get it made for me there really, really well. So why should I bother with it? Now, that being said, we do have some sizers that we make where we make a beer that, while the wort is fermenting, there's apple juice added to that wort. So it's both the apple juice and
I'm gonna have
the
to check
beer
that
fermenting
out.
At the same time.
I'm going to have to check that out. I'm going to be going to Plymouth soon.
Get your butt up there.
Yeah, you have to.
All right, do we have another question
for
the...
I have no idea why this actually does taste familiar, too, which is really
so
weird.
That's like that. What Dan had shown me, which is Red's, which
hold,
is...
Hold on. I got a question we should probably ask.
Well, this is our last question.
No, we get two, or we get three.
No, we get two still.
We get two.
Okay.
Because you broke the streak.
I got you. So... I got a couple of options. Should we ask?
All right. Well, we only have like 10 minutes left, so.
I know, so we're figuring it out.
We have 16 minutes. Stop. Calm down.
Yeah, stop trying to push
like
the question
an eternity.
Forward. Do we ask if it's above a certain percentage? Should we ask if there's a certain color in the can? Because this could
I wouldn't
flip
go with
over.
The percentage. I would go with the color of the can.
I don't know the colors of the other brands, though, but that's the problem. We could ask if there's a certain color, and then... Because what I'm thinking, this is one of the harder ones that are higher ABV than most. Beer.
We're good. Who? Oh, Miller owns Reds, so that kind of...
I was just going to ask that.
We could ask if there's
Miller owns Reds.
We could ask if there's a certain word from that name in it. A certain
I tried
W
doing
word.
That.
A certain word. No, you weren't.
Oh.
You know where I'm going at now.
I do.
Come on, big boy. Give me a question.
let's go big or go home.
All right.
Euchre.
Well, I mean, we might as well ask if it's the beer, because that's the second question, and then we still get another guess. Because we can ask.
Does that work? Can we ask if it's like if we're wrong? We still
I suppose
get
you get another question before you have to guess, so you can really guess twice.
Because we could technically just ask if this word is in the...
Just ask if the word's in the...
Is the word wicked in the name of this drink?
It is. Now, what flavor is it?
Wait, flavors?
Oh, you're a piece of shit.
I did narrow it down pretty quick.
That was a good call. So it's a Red's Wicked.
Yes, but there are multiple flavors. So.
Yeah, there's like three or four of them.
There's at least four.
What are the options for the flavor?
There's apple. There's
black cherry.
There's pineapple.
This is not pineapple.
There's no pineapple.
There's no pineapple.
Apple, there's a black cherry.
And black cherry.
Black cherry, that's apple. Cherry.
And blood orange.
Blood orange. Those three.
This isn't blood orange.
It's not definitely not blood
this
orange.
This is apple.
So it's apple, black cherry, mango, blood orange. So those are the four options.
So I'm going to need...
Wow, Dan. How did you pull that one off?
Just like Natty Daddy.
That's just apple.
I'm going to probably go with apple.
Yeah. And when he hit the cider, I'm like, yep, it's going to be one or two. It was either the Steel Reserve or the Red's Wicked. And yeah,
what
you sure there's not
that's why
mango
that's why
there?
If I would have asked if it was apple or cider in the name, we would have had the answer.
No, you would have had.
I'm not getting it.
Oh, wait,
because these aren't Reds at Wickeds aren't at ciders. Okay. They're
if
beers.
You would have had apple in the name, it has apple in the name.
All right, hold on,
doesn't it?
No, it's Reds Wicked Apple, Reds Wicked Black Cherry, Reds Wicked Mango.
So, all right, so Joe, you had a thought. Go for it.
No, my thought was it tastes only like apple, but then he just said, are you sure there's a mango in there? And I'm...
This is how we get thrown off of the right answer all the
right.
time.
Yeah. Well,
every time. I've had the answer so many times.
But Mr. Bush asked us, you sure it's the right flavor, which is
he might be
trying to steer us wrong.
You know how many times I've had that happen where I've thrown out the name and someone else who is here said, no, it's this, not this.
And I was 100% calm down.
No, it happened with the Coors.
I would say
it happened.
Well, the core is Matt lied
times.
To us.
So do you think that this, do you think mango is in this show?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No,
I don't think so. It's not blood orange. I know that.
It's definitely
It's either the black
like
cherry or the apple.
I don't taste
I
cherry.
Think just apple.
You think just apple?
I think it's apple too.
Rob,
I'm just gonna say that majority rules. You got
okay.
You know,
so Rob doesn't
two,
count.
So.
Dan.
I think it's apple.
All right, we are going to go, because there's three of us, Red's Wicked Apple.
Yeah.
What's up?
Wow, Dan.
Well wow, done. 3 for 3, guys.
It says Union Made. Where do you get 3 for 3?
Yeah, got, what is
I
this?
I have no idea.
It says Union Made.
All three of them right so far.
Well, I assume.
Three of them right so far.
She said the
three questions.
Tonight.
Three questions.
Are you not
this is question three
no.
of Matt's five
I'm
questions?
Sorry. I thought he meant like three of the
mean,
last
three. For three.
Three. Yeah, we've only been doing this for 3 weeks, Matt.
So here's a great question. Kind of up Dan's alley.
Oh.
This homicidal-themed music group
homicidal.
Is a Welsh heavy metal genocidal. Band formed in 1998.
No, I don't hang out with the Welsh.
1998?
So. Yes. Savages.
This homicide-themed music group is a Welsh heavy metal band formed in 1998 that everybody knows. Everyone's heard of it.
So it's a major band?
Yes.
That's homicidal, so it's not suicide.
Homicidal themed.
Homicidal theme.
So what is the theme that I've been going on this week?
Hey, wait, hold on. Is Ice-T from Wales? Is this body count?
What? St. Valentine's Day Massacre? No.
So we've been doing...
Is this a Dillinger?
Is this him? No, they're not homicidal. They're just emo.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Go for it.
Wait, is this My Bloody Valentine?
No. It's Bullet for My Valentine is the name of the band.
Bullet for My Valentine. Are they Welsh?
And it's Valentine. It's Bullet for My Valentine.
It is Bullet for My Valentine.
Four. Come on, let's get this
They're homicidal. I didn't even.
Well, Bullet for My Valentine sounds like
they hang out with
somebody.
Andrews.
Like, I'm going to shoot my Valentine. He was watching Information Discovery earlier.
Valentine's Day Massacre. That's a real thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a paper.
All right, so question number five. We're going to give you guys a multiple choice.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I thought this was going to be difficult.
69.
C is always the answer.
Okay.
C.
So doing some research, what percentage of U.S. females send themselves flowers on Valentine's
Day?
Wait, hold on, wait. Is that a thing?
Yeah, that is a thing.
That's a thing.
One of the following, it's A, B, C, or D.
Like, send it to your work? Be like, oh,
so, yes. So
got.
Women yeah, will
look,
send
look
themselves
what
flowers.
My imaginary boyfriend sent me.
I think of 15%.
Wow,
I never
thought that was
10%, 15%, 25%, or 30%.
Oh my God.
We all have to agree on this, right?
I can't even imagine.
What were the numbers again?
10%.
10.
15%.
15.
25%. 30%.
I'm thinking.
I think it's 10 or 15. I think 25 is too high.
Are we doing that?
Hold on, because
I think 25 is too high.
Hold on, because I think I just missed. I probably missed it here. Was this all women or just single women?
What percent of U.S. females just send themselves flowers on Valentine's Day?
Definitely under 25. Then. Yeah, so it's either 10 or 15.
We can do a quick comparison. How many of us buy ourselves craft beer on our birthday?
I buy craft beer like 7 days a week.
Except King Cobra. Right?
I was going to say, who of us buys beer?
No, you're right. I buy PBR a lot, too. Hold on. You're right. I don't do it 7 days a week. Probably like three. I'm pounding PBR.
Did you say the highest was 30%?
Yeah.
10? It's not
15, 15, 25,
it's 30. It's A or B.
There's no way almost one in three people you know are sending flowers.
I think A or B, you're right. Yeah.
Because
flowers are expensive.
You guessed 15 out of the jump. That was a weird number that we had them together.
Well, I guess 69. That was too many.
I'm surprised it stops at 30. So
you were expecting more.
I almost expect more. So I would actually
because you got to think half women are probably dating or in a relationship in some form or fashion.
And the others aren't that insecure that they need to.
Plus you actually have to kind of factor in women who have significant others who send the wrong shit. So I'd rather buy my own flowers to make sure I get it's done right rather than have some asshole send me the wrong damn flowers.
So does that mean does that lead you to think that it might be on the lines of 15 versus 10?
I think it's 30.
It's not 30. I'm vetoing you right now. It's not 30 or 25. It's 15 or 10.
Me, I don't know any women that do
I've
that.
I've never met any.
Nick, have you ever sent yourself flowers?
Well, the thing is, though, you don't admit that you send yourself flowers. You say they're from some guy you met on the internet named Gerard, and he sent you flowers at work.
Gerard is real. He's fixing cleft palates in India.
I just got flowers from Jean-Luc.
So of course you don't know
that they did it, but they did it because they're trying to impress all the other ladies in the office. So of course somebody did it.
Oh, damn.
Can you compose yourself?
No, I can't.
The most random of How I Met Your Mother callbacks, and you hit it, and I was just
damn right.
I wear purple.
All right, we got six.
I'm going 15.
God damn it, Patrice. Get it together.
I'll go 15.
This was a pre-Patrice.
I don't care. Go big or go home. I'm sticking with 30.
The answer is,
our official number is 15, so there you go.
15.
5 for 5.
Yeah.
5 for 5.
Perfect score. Is that the first?
You know what, Rob?
First in a while.
Time out.
That means Matt's buying us beer next week.
Well, if he remembers to bring it.
Yeah, where's my BCBS? Oh, God.
good.
Okay.
I like,
all right, that's enough.
And Matt's in time.
I want to make one quick point. I like how Joe immediately, before Matt called out any of those choices, said 15 from the go.
Maybe he knew.
Do you know?
Were 1/6 of the women you have dated in the past sent themselves flowers? Was that how you got 15?
3/6 of them. Even while I was dating them, they would still order their own flowers.
Oh,
I was
kind
of working out the... Well, because I don't subscribe to Valentine's Day. I'm
Lisa,
sorry.
I was on to something then.
Yeah. I was ahead of my time.
I think the last Valentine's Day, I bought someone B-dubs. That's what they wanted, so I'm like, all right, whatever.
I'm going to go ahead and not comment right there.
God damn it, Patrice.
Nobody asked you, Patrice. So, all right, before we wrap up, tell us some more about Liberty Street. Where can we find you physically? What's going to be on draft? Do you have a Facebook? Do you have a Twitter, a Grindr, an Instagram?
A Grindr.
Oh, hold on. I did hear of a new dating app.
Oh, I'm in.
Her.
All right, you got
my
attention.
The female lesbian version of Grindr.
Oh, we're on that now, too.
There's also Bumble.
Bumble.
Anyways.
We're going to have a Grindr. Do we have a Grindr?
No.
We do not have a Grindr.
Anyways. Joe, what's going? Where can we find you guys if we wanted to come out to Liberty?
Matt's a twig. Well,
down there.
You can probably pass as a man.
As he mentioned, we do have a Facebook page, Liberty Street Brewing Company. Go to the group page, not the company page, because the group page is a lot more active.
Uh-huh.
Our website, libertystreetbeer.com. Twitter is Liberty_brewer.
Sweet.
So where do you find us? We are statewide distribution. We are about to hit... we're actually in all 104 or 105 Meijer stores under Variety Pack.
Nice.
The I Heart MI Beer or I Love Michigan Beer. And then we are hitting the shelves with six packs in 16 of the local Metro Meijer stores with the Red Glare, Starkweather Stout, and Eagle IPA.
Yeah, the Red Glare is awesome, by the way.
The cherry IPA is coming out next.
Yes, I'm loving it.
Starkweather
Stout.
Next, right? Cherry Eagle
Eye. Wait, is that the Eagle Eye Cherry IPA?
Eagle Eye Cherry.
Eagle Eye Cherry. Soon
to hit the pub.
Or it could be an Eagle Eye Cherry IPA, like an extra pale ale.
Oh, gosh.
Ooh. We need to talk. I got to put you on my email.
Oh man. Matt is in heaven now.
Don't inflate his ego.
I can just see it right now. A year from now, Matt Bush is literally like on his LinkedIn profile. It says beer namer.
Yeah, name beers.
Honestly, I'm just going to go from brewhouse to brewhouse. They're like, what do you have? I'll have the my beer. Which one's that? Like, and I'll just pull out my card.
Oh, God. Where in Plymouth, downtown Plymouth, can they find you guys?
Well, they're not downtown Plymouth. Pay attention.
We are local downtown, though. We are in draft at Sean O'Callaghan's Sardine Room. We're in bottles.
What about E.G. Nicks?
They have sardines there?
Isn't E.G. Nicks there?
E.G. Nicks used to have us. We are we just hired a new sales rep, and his main goal or initial goal is to
E.G. Nicks. That's pretty it's not a lofty goal.
The rest of the places, the other six places in Plymouth, need to have our beer all the time. Mm-hmm. We're the local brewery.
Yeah, right.
So E.G. Nicks, definitely. They've had us, and
I know a pretty good sales rep if you're looking for someone.
As we point over here.
In case he doesn't work out.
In case of glass or in case of emergency break glass.
Yeah. Now you're there all 7 days, right?
Yeah, I'm literally there. Like on Saturday and Sunday, I open the pub every day.
Okay.
Except for festival season's coming up, so a lot of times now I'm out of town.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But I am there typically 7 days a week. I go to the brew pub first.
Yep.
Make sure everything's still standing. Then I go to my office at the plant. So.
Really quickly, and I thought about this towards the end. How is it during that big art festival in Plymouth? We got a couple seconds left. Is it pretty crazy during the art festival?
It all depends on the weather and how many hundreds of thousands of people show
up. There is
a
shitload of people that go.
Well, for all the events, and they will spread out to get to the Old Village.
There you go.
Yep. Well, Joe, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you coming on out.
Any week.
Don't forget our sponsors, North Center Brewing, Brown Iron Brew House, and Zatuna Liquor. Thank you, Rob, Matt, Nick, Dan, myself, episode 71 with Liberty Strider.
I try.
Get that red glare ale, man.
And no matter what you think of your beer, what you think of your beer, we think it's better on draft. Have a great night.
See you soon.